Well, we're continuing on this series of Recoding the Brain. Each week, I think that's the last lesson. And then he shows, when I get it back into prayer, he shows me there's some more. I don't know when this will end. We'll see. Today, I know the subtitle today is Walking in Truth. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Recoding the Brain, just in case that you're new to the series or haven't heard all of them from the beginning. I think this is lesson number 16. Don't hold me to that. But recoding the brain, it's another way of saying renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. And the foundational verses are Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. So just to refresh our memory, I've got my good old paper Bible here. It's been with me around the world to preach the gospel. And let's read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Of course, this is a King James. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that verse today. In our circles, we call this the message of mortification. And notice it says, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Therefore means based on everything that Paul had written in these first 11 chapters. Well, my goodness, that's a lot. That's a lot. But the end result is to bring us to the place where we can present our bodies holy unto the Lord for his use, exactly the same way that Jesus presented his body to the Lord, to his Father, for his use. You know, Jesus said, it's not really me doing these works. I mean, Jesus was always God. Don't get me wrong. He's always the Word. But he set aside all of his access, all of his privileges to divinity so that he could be our example, our pattern, so we could look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So he did everything as a human born of God, wearing fallen flesh, just like ours, but anointed by the Holy Spirit, the same one that has anointed you, or Christ in you, actually. So what we call mortification, and Lord, there's so much we teach on that all the time, mortification and edification, the stopping the deeds, the sinful deeds of the flesh, but the building up of the new man on the inside, like Jude 20, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So there's a mortification of the flesh and a edification of the new man. And the point of that is today's lesson, eventually, where you're walking in truth. First, you have to know the truth, and that's part of the renewing the mind. So anyway, verse 1 here really has more to do with the mortification message, where you come to the place where you stop that body from any sinning that addictions and all that type of thing, where you can present your body holy unto the Lord, and you can do it. Christ has empowered us to do it. None of us, listen, Romans chapter 7 is to prove to all the sons of Adam before you're born again, no son of Adam can keep the law. No son of Adam can walk uprightly according to the law. Why? The sin nature. And again, Lord, we'd have to reteach so much. You must be born again. Who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? Thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that has empowered us through the never coming into, you know, Romans chapter 8, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the only thing that's made me free from that law of sin and death. Without that, you're condemned, like a prisoner. You're going to sin and going to keep on sinning no matter how much you don't want to. That's Romans 7. But Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You've got to know that, walk in that, yield to that. God has put that life, law of life in Christ Jesus in you when you got born again, but you still have to walk according to the law. But there's a speed limit in my neighborhood. Not everybody obeys that law. Stop, slow down. We have children in the neighborhood. Stop it. No. So anyway, okay. Now, where we've been teaching primarily in this course is more along the lines of verse 2. So let's read Romans 12 and verse 2. This is more the edification part of the message. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. And again, that's the Greek word metamorpho. It's where we get our English word metamorphosis, where we talk about the changing from the caterpillar to the butterfly. We talked about that a week or two ago. So we're going through a metamorphosis, a complete change. The renewing of the mind is involved, but you're really a new creature. You're a whole new creature. You got to learn how to fly, my brothers and sisters. We're all learning how to fly, not remaining caterpillars trying to fly, but literally becoming what God has called us to be, which is new creatures in Christ Jesus, able to do the same works. That's exactly what Jesus said now. In John chapter 14, verse 12, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And so he's the original butterfly, and we're the butterflies in metamorphosis process. That we're about to fly, my brothers and sisters. We're in the edge waters of the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. We are about to fly, and the world's going to watch and wonder. Okay, should I finish reading the verse? I think so. Here we go. Romans 12, verse 2. The whole verse this time. Who would have thought? And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, the recoding of the brain, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word prove, if you look it up, is the same word. If you were going to, someone hands you something that they say is gold, you're not sure if that's gold or not, what are you going to do? You're going to go prove it. You're going to go test it by fire. You're going to see for yourself, is this gold or is this not gold? I want to prove it, find out. And by examination, and when that process is over, now you know by your own personal experience, this is pure gold. We will find out what is the pure, how does he word it there? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now what happens when, if you come to the place where your mind is renewed, how are you going to know that? Well, your walk is going to change. You're going to be different. You're going to know it's different. Let me prove that to you. Go over to 3 John. Don't preach a whole lot out of 3 John. It's such a big book, you know. Not even a whole page. Not even a whole page in my Bible. All right, 3 John. The elder, of course, that's John, unto the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Boy, don't we want the same thing. Prosper, be in health, even as our soul prospers. Yes, that's a renewed mind, isn't it? All right. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. Oh, it's one thing to know the truth. You do have to know the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sorry about the sniffling. I'm fine. Pollen season. See all that? The truth that is in thee as thou walkest in truth. Now, verse 4. I think this, John wrote this, but I think it's the heart of God too. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Well, that's the subtitle of today's message, Walking in Truth. And that's really the product, the fruit, the end result of a renewed mind. And where you can prove for yourself, you don't just, it's not just doctrine anymore. See, I'll just tell you this, all of us, including the Apostle Paul, we're still pressing toward the full mark that Jesus left for us. As of now, he's the only one that fully walked in the truth that I know of. I thank God for the heroes we've had in the past, like John, you know, there are many, John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, Amy Simple McPherson. I'm going to throw in Dave Roberson. I've seen so much truth him walking in the truth. And see, the truth is not the same as what we see in this natural world. The natural world is not the truth, it's facts. They are facts. Who was it, Ronald Reagan? He said, facts are stubborn things. And they are. They're facts are stubborn things. But facts are not the truth. One of the most popular messages I ever taught is at the website. It's called Truth Changes Fact. Boy, isn't that the truth. Isn't that the truth? Truth changes fact. Walking in truth. For example, right, just the immediate thoughts that come to my mind. There was a man, it was a fact that he had been paralyzed and in bed for 8 years. This is in the book of Acts. I don't remember the chapter. Aeneas, I think, was his name. And everybody knew about this guy. He'd been in bed, bedfast, 8 years. Fact. Couldn't walk. Fact. But here comes, you know, when Peter walks in, truth walks in. Because Peter was a man walking in the truth. See, Jesus didn't really walk in truth. He didn't say, I walk in truth. He said, I am the truth. What? He also said, Father, thy word is truth. But wait a minute. Jesus is the word made flesh come to dwell among us. Oh my, so much. It's so wonderful. But see, fact, paralyzed, because according to this world, there's no hope for this guy. He's paralyzed. He's been bedfast for 8 years. Now, 8 years, my brothers and sisters, is a long time. My youngest granddaughter is going to be 18 here in August. Hard for me to receive that. My little lily cakes. 18. So, if she, you know, 8 years ago, she was 10. I mean, such a difference between 10-year-old Lily and 18-year-old Lily, you know. And, you know, that's a long time is what I'm trying to say. 8 years. This man, fact, had been paralyzed, unable to get out of bed for 8 years. But here comes a man named Peter who's walking in the truth. You know why? The truth was in him, and the truth is in you. If you've been born again, the mystery of the gospel is Christ, the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. It means the Messiah in you. Oh, you are the temple of God. And that word there really means the, not the whole temple with the outer court. It means the holy place where the Holy of Holies is. It's really trying to describe you as the Holy of Holies with legs. Your mobile Holy of Holies. Everywhere you go, you bring the very presence of God. It's like the Shekinah, that, you know, that with the presence that was behind the veil in the Holy of Holies. Your flesh is the veil, if you'll allow me now. And the presence of God is in you, and you bring that presence everywhere you go. That's exactly what Jesus said. He says, it's not me doing these works, it's the Father in me. Well, for us, it's Christ in us and the Father in him, still doing the works like always. He said, here, let me find this in just a minute. I brought this in here again because I just love that the way that the Lord said it. He said, know that my word, this is just something he said to me recently. In fact, it was this year in February. He said, know that my word is spirit and my word is life. You remember when Jesus said that? It has the capacity still to create all things whatsoever I have spoken. Preach my word. I will provide the testimony. In other words, the testimony there is the eyewitness. I will provide the witness. And that's like Mark 16. They went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord working with and confirming that word with signs following. I will provide the testimony. He's saying the same promise to us. But see it ahead of time with the eyes of your understanding. Now that's your spiritual mind that has the capacity to understand the things of God. See this, see that, that's what's going to be happening now. Now, this is the part, get this part. I want to have a running fit. I mean, I'm telling you, every time I see this again, he says, see me doing what I always do through my son, who now abides within you, says the Lord. I've been thinking a lot this week about the natural brain and how it's God gave it to us for a function. I'm having trouble with this caller today. Bear with me. Anyway, God gave it to us for a reason. It has a good function, you know. And if you see the bus coming, don't step in front of the bus. I don't, because we have a natural brain, I don't have to seek God for his will every time. When shall I change the oil in my car? I know when to change the oil in my car, you know. Pastor Dave would talk about this one quote prophet that came to stay at their house, and he goes, I'm so led by God, I don't even wash my clothes until God tells me to. And Rosalie said to him, if you're going to sleep in our bed, in one of our beds, you're going to wash your clothes when I tell you to. Well, God gave us a natural brain for that kind of function, you know. You could thank God, it's a wonderful tool. But if we live completely by the natural gray matter brain, that thing is limited to the physics pretty much of this world. It doesn't believe you can walk on water. It doesn't believe you can change water into wine. It doesn't, you know, that in fact, in 1 Corinthians 2, it says the natural man, which would really be referencing a natural brain in a person that's not been born again, said the things of God are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Well, that's pretty much the natural brain, you know. You tell the natural brain, let's go walk on the water. It's going, you done gone crazy. Which, don't try that unless the Lord says come, by the way. Many have tried. Many have had to go change out of their wet clothes, too. Praise God. All right, back to our thinking here. So I was thinking this week, especially, I know we're coming near the end of this series. This might be the last one for now, on recoding the brain. And you know, the natural brain doesn't really change. I mean, what really changed is you, a new man on the inside of you that has the capacity. It's born of God, that new creature. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that new man is created. And that means, I like to, from the get-go, instantly, in righteousness and true holiness. That's the real you. And you have a spiritual mind on the inside of you as a child of God that has the capacity to understand, believe, and walk in the physics of another world. We're not even really, that person is not even a citizen of the world. The Bible plainly says our citizenship is in heaven. We're aliens from another world come to rescue as many of these earthlings as we can, you know. They don't realize, they see you walking up, you got a body, looks just like theirs. Ah, another human. They don't know you're an alien from another world called heaven, come to snatch them from hell and get them reborn so they can become a citizen of heaven. That's the mission, people. And the bottom line, that's the mission, what we're all doing. Well, the natural brain is still the natural brain. But now, here's an amazing thing. He was showing me some things this week. There's been more recoding of your natural brain than you think. If you've been a Christian very long, see, why do you believe there's a heaven? I mean, you can't beat it out of me with rifle butts. There is a heaven where the Father is, and Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and there's angels there, and there's six winged angels crying, holy, holy, holy. Have you ever been there? See, the natural brain. Have you ever been there? No. Have you ever seen it with your own eyes? No. See, the natural brain, like we've been through this so many times, normally is limited to the physics of this world. I will believe it when I see it. I'm not going to go through all that again. But even the disciples themselves, the original, they didn't believe anybody that came and told them Jesus. I don't believe Mary. I don't believe these other women. I don't believe the two men from Emmaus. And Thomas says, I don't believe you others that said you saw him. Not until I see him myself and put my hand. See, that's the way the natural brain works. Well, Gary, have you ever seen heaven? Well, no. You know anybody that's been there, really? No. Well, I know certain prophets that say they go several times a day. But anyway, that's another lesson. I don't know them personally. I see them on YouTube, but anyway. And some of them, maybe they do. I don't know. Not my job. That's not my job. I personally have never really been to heaven, okay? But, Gary, do you believe there's a heaven? Yes. Do you even believe it in your natural brain? Pretty sure I do. I don't think you could beat that out of me with rifle butts. What has happened? See, I have meditated on the Word of God so much over so many years. Just that I've been over 40 years at this. There's actually been the supernatural Word of God has imprinted, caused supernatural neuron pathways, dendrites, I think those are called, in my, even I think it's even in my natural brain. See, I know for sure, we talked about this a few lessons ago, that, you know, there's times still yet today where a financial difficulty might come, and part of me goes, man, this is serious, you know, shouldn't you worry about this, Gary, you know? And it's like, now in the old days, I can tell you in the beginning, there was lots of worry. I mean, we were obeying God and hanging on by our fingernails, and all of the facts looked like this is not going to work. We're just hanging on to the Word of God. Oh, God, oh, God, you know. It, you know, sleepless nights, trying to sleep. And like one pastor said, man, he says, I was a champion warrior, and I'd try and obey that verse, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And he said, I have to get out of bed maybe 8 times a night in the early days, trying to cast that care back on the Lord again. I'd get back in bed, wouldn't be 5 minutes. I got to get up and do it again. Because Pastor Dave would say, they have an altar call, bring your worries to the altar. Just leave them here at the feet of Jesus. And he'd go, I would do that. And I'd come in the early days and I'd lay my worries, all of my cares right at the feet of Jesus at the altar. He says, you know, at church, you know? And he says, but the problem is, he says, to drive home, I drove a Volkswagen, and my worries, they drove a Ferrari. And by the time I opened the door, my worries were already there again. That's a very humorous way of telling the truth. See, in the early days, I remember that. But now, we have seen the Lord come through. My natural brain has seen it, I guess, with its own eyes. It has. It's like, Gary, shouldn't, you know, I thought, you know, Gary, shouldn't, this is serious financially. Shouldn't you worry? And it's like my own brain, it's like it talks back to me and goes, oh, shut up. We've already seen the Lord deliver us about 10,000 times. He is going to deliver us again. He provides. Remember, just go ahead and go to sleep, get a good night's sleep, because he's going to be up all night working on your problem anyway. See, I know that there are physically, I'm in my natural brain, there are dendrite, hardwired, 10-lane superhighways of neural pathways that has seen the Lord come through. Okay, this is Romans 12:2, I guess, where I have proved by experience over and over and over again the perfect will of God. He's delivered me about 10,000 times already. He's going to deliver me again. And I have trouble even worrying. That's a good trouble to have. I have trouble worrying. I can't even work it up. Part of me goes, I need to worry. I can't. He's faithful. There's no way he's not coming through. He's coming through. But okay, it's time to go to bed. Good night. You know? Now, if we can get that same thing when it comes to healing, get that same thing. Now, really where he's calling us, because of the revival that we're coming into, where he's really calling us is to get to that same level, neural pathways in us, that when we lay hands on the sick, they recover. That the works that he did, we'll do also. I am in the process privately. I don't, you know, usually tell a whole lot about privately. But in my own life right now, I'm just walking the floor part of the time. Now, it's not the only thing I'm doing, but I take time on purpose with John chapter 14, verses 12, 13, and 14. Because in the next two verses, he says, since I have my trusty Bible right here and we've got time, let's just go to it. I do not want, even though I quote it all the time, I do not want to misquote it on a video that somebody may be looking at later, you know, 10 years from now, even, if the Lord tarries. Look at John 14. Let's look at verses 12, 13, and 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, get this up where you can see I'm actually reading from my Bible, the works that I do shall he do also. That's you. See, it says, he that believeth on me. It doesn't say the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, he that believeth on me. Well, I'm a believer. You're a believer. We're in the process of recoding our natural brain even, where we can believe even more. But he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater, of course, works is in italics, greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. See, this wouldn't be possible if he was still on planet Earth in his own body, but he's been glorified, he's been exalted, seated at the right hand of God, he's been reunited now with his divinity. He is literally the God, man, God, seated on the throne at the right hand of God. He has become the last Adam, our Adam. And when you get rebirthed, it's his spirit you get rebirthed with. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit does it, but it's of he is the last Adam. You are of Christ. So look at verse 13 now. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And it's like he repeats himself. Look at verse 14. He just really, right down to the skinny, right down to the essence. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. See, I don't know, most of you, of course, don't know me personally. If you got to know me, you'd find out that... You know, because I'd tell you, eventually, O.R. Carpenter was my daddy, and I thank God for I had the best parents in the world, in my opinion. If I don't turn out okay, that's my fault, because it's certainly not their fault. I mean, and my dad put a good work ethic in me, and he always told me, son, your name is the best thing you have, and your word is your bond. If your word is no good, you're no good. And so I have really strived my whole life. If I tell you I'm going to do something, bless God, I'm going to do it no matter what. You know, if it bankrupts me, I'm going to do it because I said I would. Well, that's my dad, but my dad was a believer also, and this principle comes from God. God will not alter or change anything that has come out of his mouth. If he says it, that's why it says, Jesus said, real faith is living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's real faith. Okay. So, man doesn't live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Boy, there it is. But see, God's word, he hastens to perform it. He watches over his word to perform it. So here, see, if you knew me very well, and if I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to be at your house Thursday, and I'm going to take you out to lunch. Okay? I didn't really promise you that, but it's hypothetical, okay? But I guarantee you, if I tell you that, I'm going to be at your house Thursday, and I'm taking you out to lunch, because I said I would. I want you to look at what Jesus said. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. And it even is in italics. So it really says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do. Do what? The thing you ask. Gary, have you ever asked anything in his name and it looked like facts, this world would say, based on what you see, that he didn't do that? Yeah, I've prayed for people. I've prayed for people and they died. I prayed for them to be healed, what I mean. And I've seen miraculous healings, thank God. I've been miraculously healed, thank God. But I've also seen times when I prayed, I asked in the name of Jesus, and they died. Oh, so then what? Jesus is a liar? Don't come around here talking like that. In love, I'll smack you good. Anyway, told you I'm not a pastor, I'm a teacher. Don't you be coming around me talking like that. I saw a movie here the other day. It just made me so mad. I stood up. I watched it on TV. And it was an old one. It's a clean one. Don't you worry. No bare bottoms or... nothing, no F words or anything like that in it. An old clean movie. But in the course of it, this guy who's the star, he's in church and nobody else is there. And a friend of his, and I don't want to get into, anyway, this friend died. And so this man basically is in church accusing God. He's going, what kind of father are you that you would not answer the prayers of your children? Who would just ignore your children? What kind of a God are you? Now, I stood up because all of the teachings of Jesus, but he will avenge them speedily. He's not like that. He's not like that unjust judge. And he's the one that'll give you the bread, and he'll give you more than you need, and he'll give it every time. But if you ask, he'll give. And if you seek, you'll find. And if you knock, the door will be. And, you know, Jesus told us about the Father. But I just stood up. My mind is renewed enough. I'm talking to the TV. And I'm going, he's not like that. You are wrong. You're basing everything based on facts and not on the truth. And and I went, after I went through that little tirade, I went, you know, I used to think a lot like him many years ago, way, way back. I remember when I had those same kind of thoughts. What kind of God are you? I prayed and they died. What? You just ignore my prayers? No, no. See, the whole thing is predicated on, if you go back up to verse 12 now, leave it all together. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Oh, over all these years, finally it dawned on my lightning quick mind one day. We call ourselves believers, and we are. I don't want to take that away now. We are believers, thank God. Thank God for whatever we do believe. It, you know, the cross alone will get you there. You know, thank God for the cross. Christ and him crucified. But it dawned on my lightning quick mind one day. I said, I know you don't lie. So therefore, what you call believing, when you say he that believeth on me, what you call believing and what we call believing are two different things. And, you know, it's the guy that brought his lunatic son in the King James, it says lunatic. He says, Lord, I believe. In other words, if I didn't believe at all, I wouldn't have brought my son here to be prayed for. But obviously, I don't have enough faith to get it done. Your disciples didn't have enough faith to get it done. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And boy, he did, didn't he? That's a good prayer, by the way. I've prayed that many times. See, we're coming to the place now of not just knowing the truth, like stand up and me argue with that guy when I used to think just like him. I don't think that way anymore. But it doesn't mean I'm still seeing every time the manifestation of this verse. So I started to tell you what I'm spending time doing. I'm just walking the floor saying, Lord, whatever I ask in your name, you do it. That's what you said. I know if I tell someone I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If you say, if you tell us that if we ask, you're going to do, then when we ask, you're going to do. And I don't care if I haven't always seen that come to pass. It's not going to change your word. The problem is not with your word. The problem is with me, the believer. And so that's why we're actually going through this process of recoding the brain. See, I know my brain is recoded. I'm talking about my gray matter. There's neural pathways in there, I know. When it comes to God as my provider, you're just not going to convince me he won't provide, okay? You're not going to convince me there's not a heaven. You're not going to convince me there's not a hell. You're not going to convince me that Jesus is not the Son of God. You're not going to convince me that Jesus didn't die on the cross for old sinful Gary. So many things that are encoded, I mean, in my gray matter by now. I can't even make the thing worry anymore when it comes to provision and finances. Now, what I got to do is recode this thing with truth to the point I'm walking in truth in those areas the same way that I've been walking in the truth of prosperity, or let's say it a different way, provision, really provision, his provide. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I had been proving that by experience we started full time in officially in 96. That's when we got our 501c3, and we've been full time ever since, really. I've been proving that by experience now for all that time. This is 2025. And man, there's a coding in my brain that you can't talk me out of that. You're not going to convince me. Well, what if, see, because here's what he said. He said, see it. I read it a while ago, but he said, I'm going to read that paragraph again. He said, know that my word is spirit, my word is life. It has the capacity still to create all things whatsoever I have spoken. That's why we live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. Preach my word, I will provide the testimony. But see it ahead of time with the eyes of your understanding. See me doing what I always do through my Son, who now abides in within you, says the Lord. Well, one thing, go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for yourself. What does he always do through his Son? Well, he always heals every person that comes to him for healing. Now, he doesn't automatically heal every person in the village as he'd walk through the village. They had to one way or another come to him, either in the meeting, in the crusade, or approach him privately, like the woman with the issue of blood. Now, that was public, but her faith was private, boy. Or like the leper who came to him privately, or like some of the blind people that came to him privately. But I've already done my homework. You can do it. You go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find out he never turned away a single one. So when, you know, if they came to him for healing, they got what they came for. So you could say God always heals through his Son, but wait a minute, who now abides in you. Gary, have you seen that? No. Facts. I have not. But the facts do not change the truth. He who believes. Well, that's exactly what I'm doing. See, in one of the earlier lessons where he taught us, he said repetition is a great tool. That's why your teachers used it to teach you the language that you speak and multiplication tables and so many things. You didn't learn that your brain did not get coded with that. Hearing it one time, you had to hear it and hear it and hear it. Well, I can speak it. And speak it, and speak it. That's what God did with Abraham and Sarah. He changed their name so they had no choice. They had to say, anytime they said who they are, I am, when he would say Abraham, I am the father of a multitude, even though his lifelong facts, here he is almost 100 years old, lifelong facts, him and Sarah have never even produced one child. And here he's saying, I'm the father of a multitude. And we know from the vision God gave him, when he says multitude, he's talking like the stars of heaven, you know, million, you know, more than you can count, which, you know, the Jewish nation today might be like that around the world. But, and if you count all of them that's been through history, that's more than you could count probably. But he says, see, but God had him repeat, I am Abraham. I am Abraham. Who are you? I am Abraham. I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of a multitude. Recoding the brain, okay? He changed Sarai to Sarah, which means princess. Well, when you think of a princess, you don't think of a 90-year-old woman who's not ovulating anymore, past the time of the way of women. When you hear the word princess, you think of the young, vital, the one who is eventually going to produce the heir to the throne. And boy, did she. Now, she wound up, I am Sarah. I am the princess. You could say I am fertile. I am the one who will produce the heir, because that's what a princess eventually does. And so on and on. Recoding her brain. You know, in Romans chapter 4, it says Abraham considered not his own body. He did in the beginning. He laughed. So did Sarah. They both laughed at the idea about this time. He's 99, she's 90, she's not ovulating, and he's not the hot rod he used to be. And you're going to have a baby about this time next year? Ah, you're so funny, God. We love you, but, you know, you're funny. Well, God had the last laugh, because Isaac, when he told him what to name the child, and name him Isaac, which in Hebrew means laughter. God had the last laugh on that. That was great. I love that. I'll have the last laugh on that. But see, he went through a process of recoding their brain. They were not allowed to say anything different than what God had said. One of the prophecies in the blueprint says, the blueprint, when I say that, I mean those original 10 prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk, that I still play them. It's been all these years, and I still play them every morning, my first hour of prayer. I want to keep my mind renewed to every truth in there. I play it out loud I've got it on my phone, and I play it out loud. And one of them says, speak the end result. If that's not exactly what God had Abraham and Sarah do. Speak the end result. I am the father of a multitude. Sarah, I am the princess that will produce the heir. Glory to God. By his, how would we do that? By his stripes, I am healed. How about this one? Whatever I ask in your name, Jesus, you do it. See, right now I'm remembering in one of these recoding lessons, got to remember when Peter walked on the water, he was not yet born again. He did not have that spiritual mind on the inside of him yet. He's just a natural man who loves Jesus, really loves Jesus, and has fallen. He's forsaken everything to follow him. And here they are in trouble, and their boat is caught in a big storm. Now, he's a professional fisherman, been on that lake many times, been in many storms. But this one is a bad one. And so, you know, Jesus comes walking on the water and scared the bejabbers out of them. You know, what? They thought it was a ghost. And he said, no, it's me. Don't be alarmed. It's me. Well, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And the Lord, you know, well, it's me. Okay. So the Lord says, come. Now, when Peter stepped out of the water, when Peter stepped out of the boat to walk on the water, it's not because his natural gray matter brain thought, oh, a human being can walk on the water. No. What was it in his natural brain? What was he believing? He had seen it already in meeting after meeting, day after day, traveling, walking, participating in the crusades and the meetings that they did. He already knew. Here's the recoding. And he did not believe that a human can walk on the water. This thing is not going to believe that. But what it did believe, because it had seen it with its own eyes, if you'll allow me, whatever Jesus says is possible. Because he had seen miracle after miracle, blind eyes open, deaf ears open. He'd even seen the maimed made whole in those meetings. I mean, that's where they come to the meeting missing a leg or missing an arm or missing an ear or something. And while you watch, they get it back. And because it says the people glorified God when they saw. Well, when they saw means it happened during the meeting. Oh, wow. So his natural brain, see, it's limited pretty much to the physics of this world, but he knows. He has already seen it time after time. There's a recoding in Peter's brain that says, if Jesus says it, it's possible. It can happen. That's why he worded it the way he did. It's not like, hey, I have faith I can walk on the water. No, that's where his faith was, if you speak it, it'll come to pass. That's the recoding that was in his brain. That's why he said, if it's you bid me come. And if you say it, I can come. And sure enough, Jesus said, well, come. Based on his faith in Jesus and his faith in whatever Jesus says will come to pass. That's how Peter was able to step out of the water with a, I said it again. That's how Peter was able to step out of the boat and take at least a few steps. Hey, give the man credit. He walked on the water as long as he kept his focus on Jesus and his word. Boy, there it is. As long as his total dependence was upon Jesus and his word, Peter did the impossible. And he walked on the water. Now, when he allowed his natural brain to lose focus of Jesus and his word and started getting it on the circumstances, which hadn't changed. The storm was the storm the whole time. But you start focusing on this, anything but Jesus and his word, it began to sink. And even then, Lord, save me. And the Lord still saved him. Always cry out. That's a good thing if you're in trouble. Lord, save me. Save me again, Lord. And he will. See me doing what I always do through my son. Well, God always performs his will through the son. Whatever the son speaks, the father does. What the son has spoken. See, in Hebrews, it says in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1, I'm not quoting it exactly, but basically it's saying, in the old days, God spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. Well, what did his son say to us there in John 14? One of the things he said was, now listen, if you really believe, if you'll allow this recoding of the brain, and I'm talking about the natural brain, like Peter, it had to have been coded in there, or he couldn't have walked on the water. He would never have done it. Whatever Jesus says is possible. Whatever Jesus says will come to pass. If you say, Jesus, Master, if you say come, I can come, because whatever you say is possible. There it is. See, I'm right now, it's just John 6:28 and 29, where they asked Jesus, what must we do to work the works, plural, of God? Plural, they asked, works. But Jesus answered in the singular, no, this is the work, singular. This is the work of God. Well, what is it? I'm so sorry about that. I'm fine. Blame the trees. What is the work of God? That we believe on him whom God hath sent. That's exactly what Peter was doing. He didn't believe a human being can walk on the water. You think the gray matter is going to believe that? But because he had seen it and seen it and seen it again and again and again with his natural eyes, his natural brain had been encoded, recoded to think, if Jesus says it, it can happen. Jesus, you bid me come. You bid me come. I can come walking to you on the water. That's the coding that was in his brain. That's really the coding that he's asking of us, that we believe on him whom God hath sent. Now, where has he sent him now? I know that in his natural body, Jesus is seated at the right, in his natural body, in his glorified body, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. I know that. But he's also been sent into our heart. He now abides in us. And our job, even in the natural, is to rely on him whom God hath sent. See, I read it to you out of the Amplified, excuse me, a week or two ago, John 6:29, where it says, rely that you believe on him whom God hath sent. And the Amplified says that you cling to, trust in, rely on, and believe, have faith in him whom God hath sent. But now the focus for us, where has he sent him now? In us. Let me read it again. He says, see me doing what I always do through my son, who now abides within you, says the Lord. See, it goes beyond healing. When I get to thinking about what the Father always does through his son, we're all the way back to Genesis 1:1. See, because, you know, God spoke and it was. Well, who speaks? In the beginning was the Word. Now we're John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And later on it says the same Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's definitely talking about Jesus. And so all the way back in Genesis 1:1, God the Father, for example, wanted light. But it was the Word who spoke. Jesus is the Word. All things were made by him, the Word. Let, in our English, it's a King James Bible, let there be light. But in Hebrew, it just says, light be. And who was it hovering there in the darkness, hovering over the deep? That's the Holy Spirit, who enforces the dominion of the Son. Now, think about it. Where is that same Son now? Where is him? Him. Where is him, the Son? Him is in you. And guess what? The Holy Spirit still enforces the dominion of the Son. Stay here. You got to teach. But I want to run. He enforced. This is what the natural brain can believe. I'm telling you, your natural brain can believe this. that Christ is in you, and God is still doing what he's always done through his Son. Did you know he created everything through his Son, and the Creator lives in you? Do you know that if you need something and it's not available, God can create it for you? Now, for us who are getting a little bit seniorly, that means, okay, the cartilage has gone out of my knee joints. Maybe I'm not confessing that. I'm just saying that might be a fact. The cartilage. I need new cartilage. Ah, if there was only a creator on the inside of me who could create cartilage. But somebody's got to speak it. Well, what lips does he have on earth now to speak through? That would be these. Perhaps I should recode my brain. What? How about I speak the end result like Abraham and Sarah did? I speak. Oh, I could even go to the word, because it not only does it says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. I may not have this exactly word for word, but he redeems thy life from destruction. He crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Here it is. And renews your youth like the eagle. Glory to God. That eagle soars and flies and does all of this. And he can renew my youth. I looked it up. Make sure it says that. It says that. And renew is like I take my old broken down favorite recliner and I take it into a place that renews furniture. And man, they're going to go down and strip it down to the bare bones and put new cushion, new soft stuff, and you know, whatever kind of cover I want on it, and make sure all the mechanisms work right. It still reclines and sits back up and get everything just right. When I get that chair back, it is renewed, able to do what it was able to do in the very beginning. And God says, I will renew your youth so you can fly like the eagle. Glory to God. recode. Believe this. This is the word of God. And if God said it, it'll come to pass. See, there it is. He's not calling on us to believe this about ourselves. Peter said, why do you look on me? It's not me. It's that name, through faith in that name. And it's, remember, like, you know, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. He says, you preach my word, I will provide the testimony with signs following. Hallelujah. So I just walk the floor now sometimes, just maybe an hour, just take an hour for no reason. Just say, Lord, whatever I ask in your name, you do it. Gary, are you seeing that come to pass yet? No, because I've asked some things I have not seen. You've asked some things. No point in me telling about this, you know, the stuff I've asked. Okay. Not even always for myself. There's certain people. I'm asking for a certain individual that I love greatly. He's lost his sight. And I'm asking the Lord to restore it. What? By his stripes, we were healed. See me doing it ahead of time. I spend time on purpose. Lord, whatever I ask in your name, you do it. You know, I've asked about my friend. I see him seeing again. I see him driving that pickup. He probably need a new one now. I see him driving his pickup again, going to preach. By the way, you're also healing the other parts of his body. And anyway, but I see it ahead of time. See, when I see it with my spiritual mind, there is something that happens with my natural mind. It's amazing to me what all I think is possible today that I didn't used to think was possible. But it is. My mind is so renewed in so many ways. I'd say I didn't used to think I could live without alcohol. Oh, God. I didn't think I could live without nicotine. Oh, God, again. I didn't think this and I didn't think that. And I'm telling you, it's all Jesus. Salvation is all of God. When it says, you know, it is the gift of God. God's grace is a gift. It's all Jesus. Gary, why don't you smoke anymore? Jesus, he has strengthened me with his nature. I don't have to have that anymore. What about alcohol? It's him. It's Christ. Gary on his own didn't think he could live a day without it. But Christ in me doesn't believe that. And now I don't believe that. And I don't need it anymore. Well, or you know, almost hear religion. they would call it the toad anointing. Well, I'm sorry. I love our pastor. Thank God. I hope he's having a good, I know he's having a good day today in heaven. Every day is a good day in heaven. If there is even days there, I guess there's not. There's no time. Okay. See how there's a lot of things that's been renewed here already. And our job, see it ahead of time. See, Jesus said the Son of himself can do nothing. But what he sees the Father do, the Son does likewise. Well, here he's telling us, see what I always do through my Son. Let me read it again. He says, see me doing, this is the Father speaking, see me doing what I always do through my Son, who now abides in you, says the Lord. Oh, he got it down where I can understand it. This is the secret of even with a natural brain stepping out of the boat to walk on the water, to do where even the natural brain can do, can cooperate. Otherwise, it's going to go out. Nope, you're not stepping out of this boat. Nope, fear would take over. You know, nope, 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 you're not going to do it. But see, Peter's natural brain, because he didn't have a spiritual mind yet. So we know it's his natural brain. He wasn't born again yet. His natural brain was recoded with, if Jesus is the Son of God, if he speaks it, it will happen. If he tells me, come walk on the water, I can walk on the water because he said it, not because of anything else. Whatever he said, here's my faith. Here's Peter's faith. Whatever Jesus says will come to pass. That's what he believed. That's what we've got to believe. But we've got to believe it now about Christ in us. I double dog dare you. I challenge you. Begin spending some time just saying the end result the same way Jesus said it. For me, when I get through here, I'm going to go spend, of course, I spend a lot of time still praying in tongues and still doing the fasting that he instructed me to do. And of course, there's times of worship, and I love times in the Word, to be honest with you. But I'm always trying to be honest with you. But right now, I'm spending time on purpose, really just agreeing with Jesus that what he said is true. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Well, Gary, you have about probably 100 cases that you could pull up in your memory where you asked in his name and it didn't look like he did it. Well, the problem is I wasn't believing. I thought I was. If you'd have asked me, I'd have said yes. But obviously, I wasn't. Real believing is when that encoding happens. See, Peter really believed that if Jesus spoke it, he could do it. That's why he could step out on the water, and the Holy Spirit worked with his faith. Well, where was his faith? If Jesus says it, I can do it. And as long as Peter kept his focus on Jesus and what Jesus had said, the Holy Spirit worked with, say it another way, the Holy Spirit overrode the natural physics of this world, and that human walked on water. Whew. But see, Jesus asked him later, why did you doubt? Well, what is doubt? When his focus was not on Jesus and his word, and his focus was on the natural circumstances, it affects the working of the Holy Spirit, and he began to sink. What does this mean for us to walk in truth? Focus on Christ in you and what he has said and what he is saying. Whatever the Son says, that is possible. That can happen. Whatever you ask in my name, Jesus says, I will do it. I'm going to hang up with you now, or hang up our phone call here. Have a blessed day. Me, I'm going to go spend the next hour just saying, I'm going to speak the end result. Jesus, whatever I ask in your name, you do it. I believe you. Brain, believe this. Whatever I ask in the name of Jesus, Christ who now lives in me, whatever I ask, he does it. I like to personalize it. Jesus, whatever I ask in your name, you do it. Whatever I ask, you do it. You said it. Whatever I ask, you do. And you do it from inside of me now by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Love you so much. See you next time. I don't know if we're going to keep on with recoding the brain, but we'll keep on. We're right in the edge waters of the greatest revival the world has ever seen, and you are alive to be a part of it. What a time to be alive on planet Earth. Love you so much. Bye-bye for now.